Hello and welcome back to the Butt Pie Podcast. I'm your host, Oliver. It's a bit weird today. We're actually showing our face cams for the first time. But today I am joined by Jack.
Hello.
And we are joined by Tom.
Hello.
How are we, boys?
Yeah. I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, it's just a bit weird looking at you ugly mugs through the thing.
It's
putting me off of it, I can't lie.
It'll be beautiful 5 minutes ago. What's this change of tone?
But yeah, I mean, let's get straight into it. You know, Rotherham yesterday was, I mean, for me, one of the best performances I've seen without a goal ever, really. I thought we dominated the game completely. You know, I think it was around about 22 shots with 63% possession. I mean, you couldn't have asked for anything more than the ball to hit the back of the net. So, I mean, are there any concerns on your two behalves that we haven't scored? Or do you think, you know, the way that we have played is something to look towards in the future, that, you know, if we do get that bit of clinicalness, it's perfect and it was a perfect performance?
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because obviously we played well last night. We played well against Hull as well and didn't get the goal. We're creating chances, which is important. If we weren't creating chances, I'd be more concerned, because we wouldn't even look like scoring. But we're having golden opportunities that we're just not putting away. But at the end of the day, eventually it's going to click. We've got players that can score goals. You know, you've got Parrott, Reece, Brown, DJ, all these players that can find a goal. So I think it will eventually click, but it's just frustrating that it's been a few games now where we should have picked up maximum points and we've only come away with one when we've been totally dominant. But at the end of the day, I think it will come eventually. It's still time in the window to bring in a striker. And eventually, I think it'll be one of those situations where we get the first goal in a game and suddenly the floodgates will open and we'll start putting a few away, hopefully.
Yeah, I mentioned it on the Twitter space last night with Jack. Jack was on, and Chris, who's a DJ on Twitter, he mentioned it as well. He said if DJ scores that goal in the fourth minute or so, we go on and win 3-4-0 because we were totally dominant. So it was just one of those, wasn't it, Jack?
Oh, definitely. It was just, I mean, we say one of those, that's about 2-3 games now where we've probably should have picked up maximum points. And, you know, I don't think it's really too much of a concern. Obviously, there's still time to bring in a striker, as Tom said. And, you know, I think the promising thing is we're creating those chances. We're creating good quality chances in high volumes. So I don't think, you know, we should really be too concerned. And I think it will click. Like Tom said, you can't keep carrying on doing this. Something will be worked on.
Yeah, I'd have been disappointed if we didn't create as many chances as we did and it was still 0-0. Say the entire game we only had 6 chances, I'd be a bit concerned. I thought Parrott was sensational yesterday. The only thing he needed was a goal. I thought he linked up play fantastically. What one question is do you think he needs a striker up there alongside Parrott? I know it worked against Luton, and to be fair, it did work against Rotherham, where we overloaded the midfield, adding in, you know, either Ledton or to protect Whiteman, and then having 2 10s. It created kind of like a box formation, which completely overrun Rotherham. But my question is to you is, have you got to take the chance by taking, you know, maybe one of the 10s out and having someone more clinical up top, maybe a striker, you know, Reece. So could you see potentially us taking a creative midfielder like Brown and DJ out to fit in Emil Reece? Because Whiteman's been superb, and once he's been protected with either Ledson or McCann, so I think that's got to stick. But my question is, do you take out one of Brown and DJ to bring in a striker to allow, you know, that little bit more clinical edge?
Yeah, I think Parrott's really good at what he does with holding it up, linking up the play with the midfielders behind him. But he's going to be the person that we're expecting to score the goals if he's a striker. And if he doesn't really seem like a natural goal scorer, he got some great play about him. Like, he should have got an assist to DJ, put away all the chances that we're creating. So I think if you have like a striker next to him, like Emil Reese, or if we manage to bring in another striker, then I think eventually these goals are going to start flowing. So, I would go at the minute, probably definitely on Saturday, I'd go with a partner for Parrott and take out one of the midfielders and try and see if that works to answer our goal scoring problems.
Do you agree, Jack?
Sorry, you wanted me to say something?
Yeah, do you agree?
I agree. I think, obviously, with Troy Parrott not being there, I don't think he's exactly a natural goal scorer. And I think he showed that last night that his all-round game is really, really, really good. You know, he's good at holding up the ball. He's good at going into the channels. He's good at progressing the ball and linking up with the midfield, which is, I think, is what we expect of him, really. That's what he did at really MK Dons. And he never really showed how clinical he was. A very clinical striker when he was at MK. So I think he does need to want to partner him up front, maybe. Emil Reese, who I'm pretty sure we're going to get onto later regarding his situation. But I think he needs someone clinical up there with him, someone who works with him.
Yeah, and it's hard to think, because if you do take out one of the midfielders, dude, then we strike the danger of being overrun in midfield by ourselves, because we will have Whiteman, who's he's good at picking up second balls, but he's not really the defensive midfielder. He doesn't really go and you don't see Whiteman sliding into midfield. Do you potentially see us being overrun with a free midfield? And then, from that, we did make a sub for Mo Rees. To be fair, that last, half an hour, I'm unsure how we didn't score. So would it be a case of maybe not starting with two up top, overrun the midfield and then bring another striker on later on and hope, that the ball does hit the back of the net?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I feel like if you're really relying on a striker to come off the bench and score, then you got to really hope that striker is really, really clinical. I don't think you really get too many clinical bench strikers. I don't think really there are many like that. I don't know.
I don't think Reese really affected much of the game yesterday when he came on.
I think he showed what we missed in Troy Parrott. The fact that Emil Reese can take on about 3-4 men and get a shot off. But really, I think with Reese, he has to be in the mood to do that. And he showed it against Middlesbrough.
Yeah, massive confidence player, though, weren't he? Mm. You know, when he's on it, he's on it. But when he's not, he's not. It's hard to say, because whether or not you take a midfielder out to bring in Reese, he could, leave us vulnerable at the back. And, we strongly need this midfield to work at the back three. I know we've got 4 clean sheets in a row, which is absolutely fantastic. And all three have stepped up to the line. I didn't expect it at the start of the season. I don't think you two either. Yeah. I think Liam Lindsay has shocked all of us. Because I think he's turned into like Paolo Maldini the past 4 matches somehow. He's been superb. I do still feel like there needs to be a lot of stability over the midfield, because I didn't think, the defence had much to do yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much limited, especially in the midfield. So do you still protect the back line a bit more, or do you stick your neck on the line and try and score some more goals? Because that is only 1 goal in 4 games.
I think it's a bit like horses for courses, isn't it? Maybe if we're at home against a team like Rotherham last night, or a team lower down the division, and you want to put them away at home at Deepdale, then maybe you go with two strikers to try and get those goals. Whereas if you're away from home at a tough place to go, like we were at Luton, it could make more sense to compact the midfield and try and hit them on the counter or something like that. So I think it does depend on the opposition as well. Like probably against Watford on Saturday, it might suit us to actually bulk the midfield up again and hope to nick a goal, because obviously they're a good side. But I think that's got to be taken into consideration as well. And that will help as well with, Reece, if he's on the bench at the minute, he's a good option off the bench. Or if Parrott's on the bench, he's a good option. So we have got options, which is the encouraging thing. But it's just not quite clicked yet. But I've got no doubts it will, because we've seen at Huddersfield in the cup that we can score goals. It's not like we can't. It's just not quite falling for us at the minute, is it?
No, and the point that you made there against Huddersfield is we scored early on. And, going on back to the point I said before, I think we score two, three, four goals if DJ scores, in the fourth minute. So is it a confidence thing as well? Because the ball's not been hit in the back of the net recently. I know it did against Luton Town, and that was one of the best goals I've ever seen in a North End shirt by Brad Potts. And every time he got the ball at Deepdale, everyone was egging him on to shoot, and he almost scored another rocket, didn't he, from 30 yards out, flew in at the bar. I was right behind that, and he looked, he couldn't have hit it any more sweetly, could he?
Yeah, it rattled hard, didn't it? So, I mean, when I managed to get into when I got into the ground, everyone was like egging him on to shoot every time he touched the ball. So it was kind of good to see. But onto Brad Potts though, I think he's playing with a lot of confidence at the minute, and we're seeing such a different player than we were last season. You know what I mean? He was all right under Lowe last season, but for some reason, like now, he's been for these past three games, he's been absolutely unreal.
Do you
And
think he's been listening to the Butterfly podcast mentioning him about, he's not been doing well attacking wise? I thought yesterday was superb.
yeah, yesterday was superb. But about the obviously, we need to. I think a Ryan Lowe team likes to overload the midfield, don't they? Really. So I feel like if we do take out a midfielder, maybe and like maybe and like Tom said, maybe it's a game by game thing where if you're at Rob, if you're playing like against weaker opposition, and I mean that in a respectful way, that you probably will want to put two strikers on the pitch. And then if you're playing someone who's a bit, a bit tougher, you want to overload their midfield and win the midfield battle, because most important, that's where most important games are won. So yeah, I feel like it will be a game by game thing.
Tom, just on that point by Jack, he's mentioned that we should take it game by game. But isn't that focusing on the opposition rather than focusing on ourselves? I know Ryan Lowe's mentioned that he prefers to focus on himself, but has that got to be taken with some precaution coming against, other teams where you do potentially have to look at, what the opposition do have rather than just focusing on ourselves? Because Watford are coming to Deepdale, and as of now, they do still have Ismaïla Sarr and João Pedro on the books. I'm not sure how that'll be come Saturday. I know they've brought in Keenan Davis as well. Do you kind of have to look at Watford, rather than not just looking at ourselves? We've got to look at the opposition and try and nullify what they have.
I think, yeah, you've got to in the championship. You'd be naive to just disregard the opposition's threats and just focus on yourself, because you can leave yourself short. You see people try and mark like Whiteman out the game, and it can work to good effect at times. So you do have to take that into consideration when you're playing against these good sides. So yeah, I do think I don't have a problem with us like having a eye on the opposition. Obviously, the main thing is to focus on ourselves, but as well, you're going to have to see what their threats are. And if their threats through the middle and we have to overload it to try and get the best result, then yeah, I don't see a problem with that. Definitely not.
I mean, fingers crossed, João Pedro and Ismael Sarr don't start on Saturday, because that's a massive miss for Watford.
From what I've just read, Newcastle have increased their bid for João Pedro, so hopefully that gets accepted.
Oh, fingers crossed. I know there was quite a lot of P&E fans saying, you know, hoping that, you know, João Pedro and Ismael Sarr get pushed over the line, and, you know, they are missing their two best players. But, you know...
I would just like to make the point, though. People that I've spoken to that, you know, fans of clubs that have played against Watford already, they've not been that impressed with them. They've always thought they were vulnerable in that. So I don't think exactly we should be too worried about Watford. Yeah, it's Watford. They've just been relegated. They've got these, you know, Premier League standard players. But I still think we could have a really good go with them. I don't know. I feel like Preston are at the point, you know, where they're so confident. I feel like we can take on anyone at the minute.
I agree. And, you know, Deepdale's becoming a bit of a fortress. I know yesterday, especially, I was gobsmacked by how full the Finney was, especially. I've not seen the Finney look, you know, especially
a midweek game.
Yeah, midweek game. I thought the flags looked fantastic as well on Town End. And
you should see my face when I heard the Finney actually sing. Bloody hell. I couldn't believe it.
It looks fantastic from where I was. And, you know, the atmosphere was second to none. I think that's probably one of the loudest I've heard it, bar Blackpool at home. And, you know, especially that 15-minute period where we were just overloading them and they didn't have a touch of the ball pretty much. I was like, we've got to score. We've got to score soon. And
it really does feel like the fans are really behind this team. They really see what we're doing, you know. And... you know, I don't think I've seen the club this united in like ages. I don't know. I can't think of the last time that everyone was on the same wavelength, you know, and I just hope it continues, because it's making Deepdale a very good place to go. You know, I'm looking forward to going to Deepdale every week or so now, because there's just a good buzz about the place.
I think because we drew as well and now we're unbeaten, although we didn't win, that kind of performance that we put in yesterday will bring fans back who maybe haven't gone to Deepdale for the first... well, are going for the first time, you know, are down to, you know, Deepdale. And it looks incredible, you know, the flags and everything. And I know there's just been a tweet that's completely just blew my mind and I've gone blank. It's about P&E Online. I'm guessing it's the returning of flags. And obviously, if you did take a flag, please return it, because, you know, Deepdale looks fantastic with them in. And thanks to everyone from P&E Online and everyone associated with doing the flags display, because I think it betters the atmosphere. And, you know, having Deepdale as an incredible atmosphere, you know, it can only help the players. And I definitely feel like yesterday helped the players more. It gave them a bit more energy. I know a couple did look tired after Luton, but having that extra, you know, atmosphere, and especially on Saturday as well, if fans do come back, you know, is packed out again, which I fully expect it to be, it gives that extra boost. And especially against the big clubs, you know, P&E are always right up for it against, you know, big teams at Deepdale. And especially under Alex Neil, I always used to go in, you know, coming up against Norwich's, your lead. I always thought, you know, P&E have a proper chance tonight, because they always turn up against big teams. And that's not me saying that Rotherham's not a good team, but, you know, comparing them against Watford and someone else, it's a bit different for me.
Yeah.
So I really think we do have a chance against Watford, especially if the crowd's up for it. I know it was midweek and now it's 3 p.m, but if we make an atmosphere like we did last night, you know, I think it helps any Preston North End team push them to the edge.
I would just like to mention as well, our average attendance is 3,000 higher than it was last season, as it stands. So I feel like that's a really good thing to point out. Although it is three home games into the season, two home games into the season.
Tom, what do you think about, you know, obviously the opening of the Cop? Do you feel like it helps, you know, the players in that sense, having fans all around the ground?
Yeah, I was in the Cop night and it was a really good atmosphere. And it's just good having fans at both sides of the ground. You know, first half, the players were attacking towards the Cop, getting the support, and then second half towards the town end. And I think it does have that effect when you've got fans on both sides of the ground, and it just makes it more of an intimidating place to come. You know, when you're an away fan or an away player and you're surrounded by four ends of Preston fans, you know, you just can't get away from it, can you? And I think, like you've been saying, that the atmosphere last night was a million times better than it has been in a few times in the last few years. And it definitely helps the players. Like second half, you know, we were pushing for the goal and we were just relentless, weren't we? Like usually you have a 10, 20 minute period in each half where you kind of take your foot off the gas a bit, but it was just wave after wave of pressure. So I think it's clearly having a good effect on us. And it was the same against Hull as well. So it's two games in a row at Deepdale where we've just been onslaughting teams, but we just can't quite find that goal yet. But when we do, Deepdale's, the roof's going to be taken off Deepdale, isn't it? When we eventually get those goals and start taking the game to teams, and it's going to be great, isn't it?
Yeah, Deepdale was ready to erupt yesterday. You know, the entire second half and even the first half as well, you could probably say it was just ready to tear the roof off Deepdale. And as you say, you know, when the goal does come, confidence will come well to the players. I know the fans give confidence by backing the players and, you know, making a loud noise, and that will give confidence. But that goal will especially give, you know, North End confidence. I think, you know, if we do get a goal and we go 1-0 up against Watford, I do fancy us to stay on and win. It's just, you know, that first goal. If we do get the first goal, I think we'll win, but I'm unsure. You know, we could concede for the first time this season, and, you know, we might end up losing quite a bit of confidence because it's not happened so far. However, another massive confidence player is Emil Rees. And we do have a question here from Ryan Gibson on Twitter. Is obviously, I think all Preston fans know that Emil Rees recently has been linked with a move to Middlesbrough, around about 10 million or so. And there's been various places saying like what price it is. If the deal does get done, first of all, you know, the links already, do you potentially think that it's taken a knock effect on Rees? Because he's probably not looked his self. And at the start of the season, he'd probably be one of the first names on the team sheet. Like, I think everyone expected Emil Rees to be starting every game for Preston North End this season. So do you think these talks and links with Middlesbrough, if the move does or does not go ahead, do you think that's knocked his confidence a bit?
It's a hard one, isn't it? Like, I think it's normal to affect anyone, isn't it? Like, it's not just a Rees thing. Any footballer that's got clubs probably telling him they'll double his wages or whatever, you know, it's obviously going to be a distraction a little bit. But I don't think he's one of those players to just down tools or anything like that. I think he's grateful for the opportunity we've given him. And last night, he still looked right up for it, I thought. You know, he was still running at plays. He was frustrated that we didn't find that goal. And I think he still, his head's with us. Like, I don't think that's a problem. And obviously, we'd all want it to be sorted as soon as possible. Either way, either we sell him, get the money in, and we can find a replacement, or we keep him, which a lot of people would be happy with. But yeah, I don't think it affects him really. It didn't look like it did last night anyway. And I think really the reason for him being on the bench is just tactical, like Lowe said last night, that at the minute we're playing one up front. Parrott is better at linking up play to link up with the midfielders. So at the minute, he's just been unfortunate that we've changed the system a little bit and he's just found himself out of the team. But I'm sure if he stays around, I'm sure he'll find his way back in the team soon, probably on Saturday, because I think getting him behind Watford will be important. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything to worry about whether his head's not with it or anything like that.
What do you think happens with Maurice? Do you think he stays or goes, Tom?
If you
had to put your money on the line, stays or goes.
I'm honestly of the opinion that he's going to go, just because I've said it since last season. I'm not sure Lowe is a huge fan of Reece. You know, he seems to always find a way of dropping him. You know, last season Ched started over him with Archer quite a lot. This season already, we're four games in and he's already been on the bench for two. And I think if Lowe was given some assurances of some of the money that we got to be reinvested in maybe two strikers we'd probably need and a wing back, I think that he would be open to it if that was the case. And to be honest, I'd be all right with that. I know people are concerned of whether we'd reinvest that money like we haven't done in the past with Hugo, Robinson, Cunningham, etc. But I think you've got to give the board a bit of the benefit of the doubt at the minute, because, you know, since Craig's taken the reins and Lowe's come in, you can't really say they've done much wrong, really. You know, they've been really good, especially with recruitment this summer as well. You know, all the signings that we've brought in, you could argue have been really decent signings so far. So I think you've got to give them a bit of trust as well and not go back into history too much under a different regime and start going at the club for that. So you've just got to put trust in them if he does go, that we'll bring the right people in. And yeah, so I think there's a good chance he might leave, but obviously Middlesbrough are going to have to cough up or they'll have to move on.
What do you think, Jack? Do you think he stays or goes?
I think he stays. I don't know why. I just see it. I don't know. I think people's worries is we should probably sell him while he's still worth something. But then again, that is saying that's basically admitting that they don't think he's any good, nor do they think he's going to be any good this season. And I see that point, but I'd rather just keep him. I still think he's going to be an integral player for us. I think we've been looking for a 20-goal season striker for God knows how many years now in the Championship. And we finally got one and people want to sell him at the first opportunity. I'd just say give him a chance. I think people need to get off his back. I don't know. I hope he stays.
I mean, it's hard to say, because if he does leave and we do stick to this one strike formation and he's not getting in ahead of Parrott, and we can bring in, you know, the fee going to be around about 10 million. If that's actually reimbursed into other positions in the squad, then potentially for me it could be a good move. But it's that uncertainty of reinvestment that worries me. And I'm guessing it worries quite a lot of PME fans. I know, Tom, you've mentioned, you know, it is a new regime, but you still have nerves that, yeah, you know, potentially it might not happen. I put out on Twitter before asking, do you believe that the club will get adequate replacements in for Emil Reece if he was to be sold? And I have a couple of replies. I know Gab Sutton said that, you know, we are struggling to get good players on permanent deals at this stage in the transfer market, because as of now, when this goes out, you've got 2 weeks left to get players in. So you either got to be paying over the price that you anticipate, and probably more than the club, because, you know, both players and, you know, clubs will be thinking, you know, we've not got enough time, you know, come on, cough up if you want me. So Gab Sutton's mentioned, you know, you're probably looking at Premier League loans again, and yeah, that's probably not the right way to go around things, because if we sell MREs and replace him with a loan, then you're replacing, you know, a long-term solution with Emil Reece, because he's down until 2025, and that's a long contract for Preston North End. That's like another 3 years at the club. And if you're replacing him with, you know, a one-season loan,
yeah,
for a player that isn't ours, we can't, you know, push on and sell for a decent wedge, mm-hmm, then, you know, where does this leave us? Because not only that, I know we got Alvaro Fernandez and Troy Parrott, but we also have quite a few other players out of contract at the end of this season, and also just on one-year deals, like Robbie Brady. I'm not sure if he has an option. I know Woodburn has an option.
Yeah, Brady hasn't, no.
Yeah, this is what I mean. So we're replacing, you know, a long-term player with a short-term solution if we do look down the loan route. So do you trust, you know, North End to be able to get the right permanent signings in and not just, you know, replacing with loans? Because you look at January transfer window, I know it was under a different regime, but we got rid of, you know, 6 or 7 players, like Ben Pearson, Ben Davis, Darnell Fisher, 3 massive players just there, and ended up replacing them with loans. Like, I think we had 7 loans and had to turn 2 into 3s. So, you know, do you trust, you know, are you trusting the new regime to potentially sort it out in the last 2 weeks? Or you've got to have a bit of uncertainty, boys, haven't you?
That's the caveat for me, I think. If Reece was to go, I'd only want him going if we were going to bring in, you know, maybe Robinson, you know, that's still rumbling on a little bit, someone like that. But then also a younger striker, permanent striker that, in the Reece mould when we first originally bought him, when we got him from Randers, someone that's a bit raw, you know, maybe in the £1 to £2 million region. So it's not going to absolutely blow the 10 million, but someone that we can develop. And I think that's what we'd need to do. If we were going to sell Reece and bring in 2 loan players, I think, like you say, it's not really long-term planning. And we come to next summer and we're stuck with, well, we'd have 0 strikers, wouldn't we? You know, we'd have Parrott. You'd have Evans out of contract, Parrott gone, and 2 loan players. You know, it's just not really a model you want to go down. So I do think if Reece was to go, some of that money has to be reinvested in a long-term project with a player, and then maybe a more proven player. You know, obviously we've looked at Andre Gray, Naki Wells, Callum Robinson, these type of players that have done it before in the Championship. So I think we'd need someone like that alongside a younger player if Reece was to go. So yeah, there's obviously a lot of ifs and buts at the minute. But if the club did sell him, I think you've just got to, I know it's hard at the minute after what's happened in the past, but you've just got to hope and trust that Lowe and Ridsdale and Craig will make the right decisions as they have done so far since Craig came in.
I've got a question for you now, Jack. If Reece does get sold, is now the time to potentially look towards a new model? I know Brentford, you know, sold high with one of their players and they started to, you know, look to bring in these players who, you know, have high potential, who are quite young, build them up and sell them on for more. And now look at them, they're a Premier League side. So could this potentially be the start of Preston North End looking down that route, like the Brentford model, where, you know, you're buying in these players who have high ceiling, you can resell for, you know, how much? Potentially, you might not even see Callum Robinson come to Preston North End. Could you see Preston North End bring in these players, you know, that are like 21, 22, maybe 20, you know, and building them up to sell them on for more? Because let's not beat around the bush here. Preston North End need to sell players to, you know, balance the box. That's everyone knows that. So in past seasons, we haven't really done that. You know, we've brought in, I don't think, when was the last big sale? The last big sale was Robinson, and that was
3 years ago.
So, you know, we've not sold anyone for
Davis and Pearson was made, what, do we get maybe 3 million from
exactly.
them?
Exactly, exactly. So we've not really made a decent sale since then. And I know the recruitment replacing them wasn't that good because we ended up with Stockley for Hugo, Ginelli for Robinson. But do Preston North End, you know, do we go for someone proven, or do we try and, you know, build this model where we're bringing in these young and exciting players and hope it works out for us so that we can sell on for more? And then from that, you get more finances, you can buy better players. That's how football works, especially for Preston North End. Is this the start of Preston North End changing their transfer model into, you know, what Brentford did?
I mean, potentially. You never know. I think Emile Reese was probably a, I think Emile Reese is probably a little bit like that. Like maybe a star of that model. Because, you know, I think Brentford were after him when we got him, but even they saw something in him. I think this that model has worked for clubs like Brentford, also Bournemouth. That's how they ended up there. You know, buy cheap, sell high, you know, develop them to the point where they can sell them for a big fee. And maybe we can do that. And it will be a little bit frustrating. I think fans might not get too on board with it because I feel like they want to see the best players kept because, you know, that's more of a chance in the Premier League, etc. And but, you know, it is a model that works, but it does take a lot of time and it really does. I think it requires patience from fans, the board and, you know, the manager. And I think Ryan Lowe, I don't think he's exactly someone who likes to stick around for a long time.
Yeah, he wanted here and now players, didn't he?
That's what I was about to say. Like, sorry, Jack. I was just going to say that. You know, we seem to be planning for the now, you know, with these loans coming in, Brady coming in on a one-year deal, Woodburn's a one-year deal at the minute. So we're not really investing for 3 or 4 years in the future. I think we are focusing primarily on this season and this season alone, whereas if we were adopting a Brentford model, selling your best players, etc., like Jack said, it's going to take time to, you know, build the team up. It's not something you can just implement in a year or two. It's 4 or 5 years of planning and slowly getting some saleable assets in. So yeah, it's not something we can do overnight.
Yeah, but with a £10 million fee for what it's reported, surely you'd be able to get not only just a proven one, but potentially, you know, having someone brought in that's, you know, young and excited. And I'll come back to you, Jack. And, you know, with Reese potentially leaving, if he does leave, we're two strikers short. So do you look down the route of, I know some people have said, oh, just get a lone Premier League player, but we have that with Parrott as well. Do you look to try and get a young and exciting striker as well? And do you get, you know, someone who's proven at this level? Like as you say, Callum Robinson, I know there's been links everywhere. But we do need two strikers if Reece goes. Do we bring in someone who, you know, potentially could have a lot of upside and we could sell on in a couple of years? Because I know Ryan Lowe's here and now, but we do have to look towards the future. Because if Reece goes, how many other sellable assets do we currently have?
I don't really know. I feel like we do need to bring in someone proven. You know, if Lowe wants to go for the here and now, I say bring in Robinson or someone, a very proven championship striker on that caliber. And then maybe do bring in someone young. I did want to mention a name, but he plays in League Two at the minute. Ayuba Salah. Wimbledon, young, I think he's like a 19-year-old attacker who's, you know, kind of promising at Wimbledon. Maybe bring in someone like that, develop him, sell him on, because he's, you know, and, you know, maybe we can do, I feel like we can do both. Maybe bring in someone proven that might cost a hefty fee, and then maybe bring in someone younger from like a lower league so we can just take our time with him and bring, you know, embed him into the squad and develop him. And then maybe do that model, as you say. But I don't really... I feel like the priority should be to, you know, as soon as we sell Reece, get an adequate replacement for him. Because you can't sell Reece and then bring in two very young strikers who take their time, but that might cost about 2-3 million altogether. And you can't just bring in one proven championship striker for a hefty fee and then have no money to bring in someone else when you need someone else. I feel like we need to really play our cards right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a massive 2 weeks, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Massive yeah, 2 weeks. Big. And to be fair, I know we mentioned it back, like how this summer was going to be massive. I didn't expect Emile Reece to be leaving. You know, as we were mentioning the last pod, last season, you know, I'd never expected, you know, Emile Reece to be sold at all. But it makes this last bit of the transfer window even bigger. Because if Emil Reese does go and you bring in 10 million, you've got, you know, potentially four players that you can bring in to influence the first team. I know Brad Potts is storming at right wing back, but he needs competition. He does.
Yeah.
We need two strikers. And, you know, even though this three centre-backs have been fantastic, you probably do need another centre-back. For me, yeah. Greg Cunningham's not a centre-back. I know Lowe said that he does play left centre-back, but you do have cover for Lindsay in Bauer in central centre-back. You do have cover for Story with Bambo at right centre-back. But I don't think Greg Cunningham's a left centre-back. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
So I do believe that we do need to bring in another centre-back.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, 10 million goes a long way for Preston North End, doesn't it?
I'd like to mention another name, and I saw Ben Wignall of the Football League World mention this. Brandon Thomas Asante from Salford. He said he'd like North End to face him maybe if Reece goes. You know, bringing it, he's a 23-year-old. Yeah, had a very good start to this season. I think that's another name maybe keep an eye on, but
yeah,
it's a risk of setting league to the champion.
It's one of those, like, we've shown in the first four games
2 weeks
that we are a good side. You know, we're not a million miles off. You can see that from the first four games, but we just need that top up in quality, you know, up front. Competition for Potts, like you say, maybe another defender for competition as well. And then I think we have probably got the best squad we've had maybe since we came back into the Championship. I know Alex Neil had a few good sides, but we suddenly look like a team that could really challenge for top six if we get these two or three players in the next 2 weeks. I don't see why we can't be in the top six off what I've seen in the first four games. We're solid at the back. The midfield dominates every game. We've got creativity out wide with Brady and Alvaro. Up front, it's not quite clicked for us, but get that striker that can put it away. You know, if Reece stays as well with Parrott linking up with them, you suddenly think this could be it. This could be the season to really go for it. It's probably the best depth we've had in a long time as well. You know, you see we've got Brady and Alvaro. It's just an embarrassment of riches, really, isn't it? You know, from Cunningham and Earl to that, you know, it's better depth than we've ever had in midfield. You know, we've got two players for each position. So we are in a good position, but we've got to take the next step now rather than thinking we've done enough. We're not going to be going down. You know, we're safe. We're happy with where we are. But I don't think Lowe's that type of man to settle for that either. I think he will really be in the ear of Ridsdale saying, you know, this is a huge opportunity for us. Look at these first four games. We've dominated arguably at least three of the four games and we aren't a million miles off. So let's take the leap. You know, this is the chance. And I really hope that's what the club do.
I suppose it's massive money to be speaking about Preston North End. And I'm not sure where I've heard it, but apparently, you know, the talk is all of the transfer fee received will go back into the transfer pot, which, you know, in last season's or before, you didn't really expect that. You thought, you know, it'd be ending up balancing the books. But if it is all going to be reinvested, it's got to be reinvested properly, doesn't it? And that's the way it's got to be. And if North End don't get it right, I think that's a massive, massive opportunity missed. So
can't
they do
what
have
we did.
No, we have to get this right. If he is to go, he has to get it right.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we can't hang Ryan Lowe out, you know, to dry again like we did with Alex Neil. I mean, I know maybe some people etc. might disagree they didn't do that, but it from the outside looking in, it does look like they did. Didn't really give him the backing he should have got. And I feel like we can't make that same mistake with Ryan Lowe. Ryan Lowe is a promising manager. He's got he's reunited, you know, the whole club together, and it seems like he's taken us in a very good direction. And we can't, you know, and we can't give him, you know, I can't really think what I'm trying to say here. We can't, you've got
to give him what he wants.
We've got to give him the backing he needs, you know, financially, so he can really achieve what he wants to with us.
It's going to be massive in the transfer window. I know next pod we'll probably be speaking more about it. Who knows, he might be staying and all this chat could be for nothing. But moving on to Saturday, I'm just going to get your quick predictions before we do pop off. But, you know, Watford are coming to Deepdale. You know, you mentioned João Pedro and Ismael Assar might not be in the team. So what are your boys' score predictions for that game?
It's a difficult game, isn't it? Like we've said, and I don't know. I don't want it to be another draw, but that's kind of the way I'm looking at the minute, that maybe another draw.
0-0.
No, I think it'll be 1-1 draw. I think finally we're going to concede a goal. You know, it's got to happen at some point. But I think also we will get ourselves off the market deep down. So I'll go with a 1-1 draw, which it's not a bad result, but, you know, it's just a bit frustrating that we don't have more points than that on the board, considering the performances. But then you've got to look at the bigger picture of, I mean, people that are into the data and stuff. I know you are, Ali, with like the expected goals and stuff. We're right up there, and eventually over the course of the season, that will even itself out. And some teams aren't sustainable with, like, Rovers have had like 5 shots and scored 5 goals, something mad like that. So eventually it should hopefully even itself out. But no, I'll go with a 1-1 draw.
I think that's a fair assumption, Tom. Jack?
I'm a little bit more confident. I'm going for a 2-0 win.
Oof.
Another clean
sheet. I don't know why. I've got a feeling.
Would that not be a championship record? 5? There's only two teams probably, that have gone.
I'm just confident for some reason.
It's a good feel around the club at the moment, especially at Deepdale. I can't see us conceding. And I predicted in the Luton game when we did win, I predicted a 1-0 win away. So I'm going to predict the same. I'm going to predict P&E to win 1-0 and hope it pays off at the same. But I would not be surprised to see P&E concede. And I know Watford have some fantastic players, and, you know, João Pedro and Ismael Assar might turn up at Deepdale, and I'd be like,
Liam Lindsay has managed to keep Mitrovic quiet when at Deepdale, and I'm expecting him to do the same this weekend. And
yeah,
He is a good championship striker. I just don't think he's João Pedro or Ismael Assar. So I'll be a little bit more confident if it was him up front and not them two. But I just feel like we, in the first half, that's where we damage him. I feel like that's where we'll get the 2 goals, and then we'll sit on it. I say sit on it. We'll frustrate him.
I think that is the best way to go around it. And I think if Keenan Davis does start, that's not me saying that Keenan Davis is a bad player, because, you know, Liam Lindsay played very well against Mitrovic, and you know the type of strikers that Liam Lindsay does very well against. So I'm going to go 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, thank you, boys, for coming on, and cheers, listeners, for listening.
Thank you.
And watching.
Thank you.
Thank you.